Well, good day and happy New Year day. Happy New Year's to you as well.
And same to you. And today is Friday the 13th. That's it.
Not that we believe in that kind of stuff, but
Oh, but I'm not walking under any ladders. That's because I don't have any in the house, so I'm safe.
I'm going to steer clear of black cats, so.
Exactly. But Friday the 13th, I think this should be the last day for wishing Happy New Year, okay? There should be a limit to Happy New Year after 2 weeks. What do you think?
Well, it depends if you've not seen somebody until the third week. Does it count?
Well, I'm thinking, what if you don't see them till March?
Well, you could still say Happy New Year.
Yeah, they're gonna look at you like, what? Like, when does it become fuzzy?
Well, it's usually fuzzy right on New Year's, but
Well, you know what I'm saying here, right?
yeah,
I
it's
think,
true, yeah.
in Canada, as you know, we do a lot of intense looking into things, and I think this should be a royal commission to look into whether you can say Happy New Year beyond a certain date, so as not to confuse people or offend them or exclude them. You know, I mean,
Well, I'm all for it, and I think you and I should be on the Royal Commission, and we should be getting at least 100,000 bucks a piece.
yeah, okay, that'll work. Sign me up.
Which kind of leads into another little, like we've been ch chatting before, and
You mean the pre-production?
well, and just
Okay.
in previous podcasts, we're always chit chatting about politicians and. Every 4 years here in Canada and probably other places around the world, we go out and are basically exercising our democratic right to vote in a liar. So,
Yes, that's what we do. We vote in liars.
yeah,
Is
it seems
but
to me
what's a
that,
lie?
well,
Wait a minute. Question is, in this context, what's the truth?
as we talked about pre-production, we're looking at some of the headlines that are going on around the world, and you have to be careful on that. Do you bring up a point by so and so because it looks interesting, but then you look a little bit more into so and so and you find out that they're so ultra left wing or ultra right wing that you don't want to provide them with a platform to expound their views and. If you start to do that, would it taint what we would like to be?
Well, yeah, because we go to our sources, which are generally various media or quasi-media sources, but like the one we saw that when we looked to see about a particular politician wanting to call the military in to stop the problems at the border, so we go to the source and find out it's a blogger who's got 1300 followers, and we've never heard of the person, but they've made the news. And I go, well, this is nonsense. It's the influencers who are making news. No, we have to be very careful, because we're very critical of all the silliness that goes on. But we have to be our own policing, do our own policing as to what we actually talk about in regard to, border issues and security issues, because a lot of the proponents of this stuff are, as you say, extreme views, either end are not helpful. I'm not saying that they can't put them out there
Oh,
on the,
absolutely
you
not.
can print
No.
what you can put every like out there, but I'm going to be the person, or will be the people, who decide what how much of that we'll consume.
Yeah. Well, and I think what I would like to say is on that is that it would be kind of nice to have the choice to read the extreme views and hopefully come to a conclusion yourself on what you can live with. Hopefully it's somewhere in the middle and relatively non-violent. But I think that's a little bit about what's wrong with our press as well. They don't seem to be presenting news anymore. They seem to want to make the news and tell you what is
Yeah,
important and isn't
the
important.
advocate, their advocacy. centers more than reporting centers. They're not journalists, they're advocates in many cases, not all cases, because that's not a fair thing to say either, that it's, you know, lump them all together. But there are some sites, if you go to them and they have a particularly interesting at the headline approach to something, you suddenly have to decide stay away from these people or this particular media group because they're trying to influence you. I don't want to be influenced. I'll influence myself, you know. But you can see that there's in Canada, and I think the world is watching this. This Bill C-11 is exactly the kind of stuff that we have to be very, very cognizant of. I mean, who decides? Look, even our little, you know, weekly conflab here is going to be, if passed the way some people suggest that it's going to be enforced, we have to sign some forms that say, you know, we're not going to be critical of, you know, some policies of the government because, you know, the ISP will take away our right to put this online, for example. You know, that really is an extreme. I never thought in Canada we'd even have this discussion.
Well, in Canada, in the last little while in particular, we've gone to extremes where we have politicians that will not allow our own people to protest and demonstrate, but they will support people around the world to protest and demonstrate. We have issues where you would like to say, no, that's not true, but then you're labeled. Perhaps you even labeled a misogynist, because of extreme views that you might have that don't conform to what particular people say should be.
Well, we talked about this yesterday in the pre-production. Was that, you know, the there are things happening which are being not well reported, and that is the sort of symbiotic relationship between the media and the government and corporations, which never really existed in the past, but seems to be quite okay now, because they have become bedfellows. Can you still use that term, bedfellows?
Bit personage.
You know, because you start with, well, if the media is going to be subsidized by the government through taxpayers, then it's not a media that's independent anymore because you're not going to bite the hand that feeds you. And then if a corporation which owns the media has other allies that want you to buy their product or service, or wants you to be of a particular bent on something, and they have the government that creates the regulations for the product or the service, right, to which of course you have kind of a closed circuit here, which historians will tell you, and academics, that when you mix corporations together with governments and media, you have basically a kind of fascism, because if there's no one calling out anybody, they're all deciding that the serfs are going to follow us at the top here, this little trident of smart guys and gals. Can we use that word, gals? I don't think I can use that one either.
Well, you
So
know,
you
it's
follow
something
what I'm saying?
you're
You know, the thinking is clear. We're two old guys going like, "What are you talking about?" You know, it used to be that the government would be the ones criticized by the very people that they didn't like because they weren't bought off. Now you buy them off, and everybody's on the same page.
It gets, a very, very worrisome situation when you, have the omnipresence of not only just government, but now you've got the omnipresence of business and press shoving something down your throat that you may or may not want, may or may not like. And there's very few places that you can actually go now and put out an opposing view without being labeled some kind of a radical or a, I don't know what else you could be labeled, but
Yeah,
you know, you can
and
be good.
Sure. And when you're talking about what is truth, because at the moment I think that word itself is how do you if you're a consumer of information from a media that protects the leadership. A classic example here is last week, the US president goes down to the border before this meeting with Mexico, Canada leadership meeting in Mexico City. And he goes into a sanitized street. The day before was full of homeless people. Okay, then the next day he's there and it looks perfectly, there's nobody there. It's a quiet afternoon. And then he never talks to any of the folks that this controversy is all about. He goes and talks to the border officials, and they show him how a canine dog finds drugs in a suitcase. It's almost like an NPR educational video. Look, here's dog sniffs suitcase full of drugs. Oh my, we found something, but so what's the truth here? If you look at that, and you're one of these 30-second to 1 minute consumers of information on the 6 o'clock news from the legacy news people. What are you talking about? What problem is there at the border? There's no problem there. The president was there. There was nothing. And when he's asked by when his press people are asked by it, what are you talking about? There's nothing to see here. Let's move along.
Again, it would be interesting, not interesting, it would be more appropriate, I guess, is what I'm thinking, to have something that leads into this to say, for the security of the President of the United States, these streets have been cleaned up a bit. Potentially dangerous people have been removed. And you don't have to say much beyond that. People would buy into that and then hopefully would look at that and say, okay, well, obviously that's not a real situation, but
Yeah, but
it's been for.
that's a visual truth. So if you didn't have alternatives in the media, or if you use the internet in an educational way as opposed to an entertaining way, you would see that the day before it was full of mattresses and homeless people, and now for the consumption to show you the truth of the matter, we're going to show you what is there today, which was nothing. Probably as soon as he left, they said, okay, y'all go back, throw your mattresses back on the sidewalk.
Yeah, and that again goes back to the press. They should have had, 5 seconds. This is yesterday, 20 seconds. This is today. We'll show you what it's going to be like tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned. At least it gives you as a consumer or as a watcher,
Sure. But
perhaps a cleaner
again,
picture.
it's and of course karma strikes, and all of a sudden they find that this gentleman has done some naughty things with official secret documents, much like his predecessor was accused of doing. And all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of questions being asked. I love the one about not just one batch of documents found, but a second batch in his garage next to his Corvette. But that's okay because the garage door was closed. And I'm thinking, that is a terrific comeback. No, nothing to see here. The garage was closed. Well, yeah, but what was the stuff doing in there? Anyhow, but the truth is what we're talking about here. How it's manipulated. Okay, so. The truth is the door was locked and the car was there, nothing to worry about. Maybe. But the fact is, you had something in there that was not supposed to be in there.
It'll be interesting to see again how that plays out, I think, Tom, with the last 2.5 years or so, where particularly here in Canada, I'm assuming around the world, where a lot of the civil service has worked from home. How many secure classified documents have been in people's homes over the last couple of years without any kind of security vetting or security checks or,
Oh,
yeah.
wait a minute. I've got an answer for that. I'm going to put on my tinfoil beanie. There it goes.
It fell
Not
off.
connected. I can't tell you. Put that on again. Oh, there's no problem. There's no documents that would ever be in someone's possession that shouldn't be there.
Well, and even if they come in electronically, like who has a secure network at home? You know, you're still coming over
There's
a
no
public
such thing as a
ISP.
secure network anymore.
Well,
Unless you're
in
one of those
theory.
three-letter agencies or organizations.
Well, didn't Mr. Snowden even say that prove that wrong? But
Yeah, of course, of course. But I mean, again, what is the truth? The truth is that there are literally millions of people entering the United States from the south through the southern border. That's the truth, I think. Why that is, there's where the truth starts to get bent all over the place by interested or parties that are not only interested in bending the truth through various political or other means.
yeah.
So they say, oh, the rule of law. What's your rule of law? The one you made yesterday, or the one you made the day before that was changed? I mean, this is again, it's fluidity of the truth. Well, yes, like the one I thought was rather interesting was the we have an app for that. For those of us in the border business, past and present, you gotta really scratch your head with this one. Okay, you can't. I can't even keep a straight face when I think about this.
I'd like to make an appointment for next Tuesday to have my refugee claim heard at the border so that I don't have to sneak in.
We have an app for that. Which, of course, reminds me of the app we had in Canada for, Arrive Canada, right? Which we still haven't got to the bottom of. Where did the $54 million go?
Well, it's been overtaken by other events
I
now.
know, I know. The truth of the matter is we don't know where it went. Yes, you do, but you just don't want to tell us.
Well, I think you're being a bit optimistic. I really don't think they know for sure where it went.
Okay. So you think that the geniuses who were involved in that one said to their pals south of the border, "Hey, we got an app for you. We solved the COVID problem with an app. You can solve the illegal refugee migration movement with an app."
And apparently, too, according to one politician here, that app saved thousands, tens of thousands of lives, apparently. So.
So Arrive Can is now American Arrive, or how would that go?
Arrive can arrive USA, yeah.
Well,
Arrive.
it's called CBP One. That's the actual name of the app, which I think is pretty funny.
Well,
But
that leads to me to be a little bit concerned. If they've got a version one, are they going for version two and
of
three
course
and
there will
four?
be. But the very premise that the poor, downtrodden, trafficked refugee, undocumented, irregular, whatever word, euphemism we're using these days for a migrant, she hasn't got any money. It's really, but I got an $800 iPhone with an app on it. Boom. Explain to me how all these people have functioning phones.
Well,
Like,
you
how
know,
does
we've
this work?
alluded to that in previous talks too. With I really don't think here in North America in particular, we have refugees arriving on our shores anymore. We have economic migrants is what we have, looking for a better life. And before I get branded a misogynist or a racist or whatever, I bet you if the shoe was on the other foot and that was me, I would probably be doing the same thing. However, it doesn't mean that it's right, and it doesn't mean that it should be condoned. If you don't have borders, then why do you have a country? If you're not willing to protect them, you're not willing to stand up and look after them, should you cease to be a country? Just welcome everybody.
Good question.
Is there an answer to that one? There might be an
well,
app for it somewhere, but
there's an app for that. Okay, well, here's one, an app from our friends at Border Hawk News. There is an app for the Ukrainian crisis where you can now discover that the Ukrainians are the most common traffickers of illegal immigrants into Chechnya. By the way, Chechnya is what we used to call the Czech Republic. So we now, everyone's changing everything. You know, we got, for some reason, it's not the Czech Republic, it's Chechnya. Okay. Ukraine has the most registered nation of origin for detained people smugglers by the Czech police last year, followed by Syria, Georgia, Turkey, and Chechnya itself. So what an august group. Again, the truth, what's the truth here? Well, the truth is that the Chechnya foreign police have reported to newspapers that Ukrainians topped the list of those people transporting illegals into the country. Now, who are the illegals? You would think that the situation in Ukraine would be, let's get our people out of harm's way. So by hook or by crook, we'll get Ukrainians out of Ukraine, like our people, right? But no.
Yep.
So that's not who's being smuggled. Syrians, Georgians, Turks, basically are part of the movement here. And, you know, it's got very little to do with the situation in Ukraine. It's called, we can make money here.
Well, and is that all part of going back to what we were starting at the beginning of our broadcast here? You now have the government and corporations working simply so that we can make money, or the corporations can make money and the governments can tax that. And, you know, it seems to be a full circle kind of deal here.
Well, again, truce. And when we go back to just news of, you know, it's like a hose pipe here of stuff coming out of the media, even though we started off this discussion, do we trust the media? But they kind of shoot themselves in the foot when they actually report on something, then they don't want to report on more than just the basic headline. So, you know, for example, back to the U.S. president having stuff in its garage or in his home or wherever these documents are. Oh, no, sorry, it was at the university. The question that is raised is, you know, well, if these reports that were not supposed to be in his possession refer to Ukraine, Iran, and the U.K., which is also interesting because apparently they have some dirt on the U.K., in this thing. Question people asking, what does the Ukraine have on the Bidens, for example? Curiously, they did report on CBS, no doubt, you know, which is not just some crazy, you know, influence blogger on TikTok, that the last days of the vice presidency, Biden, he scurried off to Ukraine. And the question is, to do what? You know, a week before he was no longer vice president. So the plot thickens here that, you know, does, for example, Zelensky, we went to see there, have dirt on him? What was in these? This is really quite fascinating, because if you're writing a screenplay for a TV series, do you remember Kevin Spacey when he's played in House of Cards?
I remember the series, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, it had a lot of possible truths to reality. But in fact, you know, you couldn't write this script any better than to suggest, well, what was he doing? You know, because these are things you can't cover up. Yeah, you were on an airplane in that country at that time. Now, what were you doing there? I can't tell you. It's a secret. Okay, well, maybe you'd have to go in your garage and read up on it.
Well, provided you get in there before it's unlocked.
Yeah, so when something of that magnitude goes on, and then you connect that to the streets of El Paso that are completely empty, there's no problem here. You know, you really kind of wonder how much stuff are we being fed continually. And you know, when you're talking about truths, one of the truths that Joe Stalin, that outstanding leader among men, you know, in the Second World War, until they found out what a creep he really was if you tell people a lie enough times, it becomes the truth. And I'm beginning to see the consistency of that, especially with our modern 21st century purveyors or systems of purveying information. Yeah. You know, how many times do you get told on social media about X, and then that must be so? Because I see it with my own grandkids, for example. They tell me, about something that they consume a lot of their news through TikTok and places like that. And I go, that's not news. That's not a journalist. That's some screwball deciding that they want to make the name for themselves.
So that goes back to, I guess, to answer your question is that if, in the words of Stalin, if we tell you 100 times, it's got to be the truth. So the truth is what we tell you 100 times. If we don't tell you 100 times, it may not be the truth, but.
I don't know. What's happening, I think, is that what we're seeing is that the thoughts about these events are not objective anymore. It's all very subjective. The objectivity is driven by emotion through the outcomes are important if it was driven by emotion, not by fact, not by logic, not by common sense. You know, it's really very strange sort of a society we have today, that I think there's a kind of I wouldn't call it a mental illness, but I think there's a kind of a mental challenge in society that is by individuals in society. They're constantly bombarded by this information, a lot of which is nonsense, you know, and this little gizmo here is part of the problem. Because, you know, everybody has one of these damn things connected now to their hip. And, you know, there's various studies done by psychologists, and whatever, that say average person today, particularly in Western societies and Anglo-Saxon societies in particular, look at this thing a couple of 100 times a day.
My phone now, when I fire it up in the morning, sends me a little report. You were on your phone X number of hours yesterday, which is a 10% increase or a 10% decrease from the day before.
Yeah.
So that should be a bit of a warning, it should be a bit of a wake-up call to a lot of people if all phones did that. But
well, I think this is where you don't realize that you're being influenced without you even knowing you're being influenced.
Yeah.
And of course, if you react negatively to a lot of the same influencers, then you get the label pasted on you, because that glob of information purveying networking society, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't like to be challenged, you know. You see, this is the thing about this system, in particular, when we talk about issues like migration. So we don't know what we're so inundated with information that cannot be really
verified.
You know, when we're told, for example, by the government in Ottawa that 500,000 migrants is good for the country. Okay, well, prove it. They never do that. Or how about this?
That's true. Yeah.
it's never been proven. It's always you take our word for it. And if you don't like what we're saying or you don't agree, then you must have some hidden agenda, or you must have an ism or something going on.
We might have an app for that too. But...
Got an app for that, yeah. I wish we had an app for lying politicians. You know? That would be,
well, you know,
be a pretty empty parliament in Canada.
Could be. And I think it's probably something that we should look at for our next broadcast, because I see we're getting very close to the end there. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we better sign off then.
Well, we don't want to get cut off in the midst of an important topic. So.
No. All right. So I'll see you next week.
Or before.
Or before.
Yes. Right. Take care.
Take care. Bye.